Faith and fear are two themes that emerge strongly as we listen to the readings that the Church proposes to us this 12th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Faith and fear. The Gospel text that we've just listened to gives us a scene in which Jesus wants to encourage his followers who have been commissioned to speak his word, wants to encourage them and reinvigorate them, knowing that they're speaking this word in the midst of a hostile world. And he begins with a striking command. Jesus says, "Fear no one. Fear no one." This is how he sets the tone for the discourse that follows. Now, it's important that we distinguish this no-fear attitude that Jesus wants to impart to his disciples from that sort of false bravado that we can sometimes take on, that faking of not having any fear so we can cover our own vulnerabilities or convince ourselves that we're self-sufficient. This type of no-fear attitude could lead us quite far from Jesus. So what is it that he's getting at here when he tells his followers to fear no one? The text presents three general points that he's making to strengthen his followers. The first is simply that God is the one who guarantees the success and the fruitfulness of his word. To those who are listening to Jesus, he says, you just worry about listening to what the Father is telling you in those silent, intimate moments of prayer and proclaiming this to the world without fear. Secondly, he points out that the power of men, that the power others may think they have over us, or we may sometimes think that others have over us, carries within itself a radical limitation. Because only God is the God of life and death. Therefore, have no fear. And finally, he illustrates with these two great images the last reason for which we can be fearless. That image of the two sparrows. Not a single sparrow falls to the ground without the Father's knowledge. Even every hair on your head has been counted. And so Jesus wants to make this strong connection between knowing that nothing, absolutely nothing, that we can experience falls outside of the gaze of God. And he connects this knowledge with our ability to live in that freedom of the sons and daughters of God. A complementary point is found in the first chapter of the letter to the Colossians. There's a beautiful Christological hymn that says that in Jesus all things were created, and in him everything continues in being. Now this seems like sort of high metaphysical thought here, but it's pulling us back to a truth of our faith. Everything that's been created, everything we encounter, is created in Jesus and is somehow being sustained by him. Now this gives us an incredible freedom to recognize that we are in relationship with the one who sustains this whole thing, this whole enterprise. And so I invite you to do a little thought experiment, maybe a little prayer experiment. Next time you find yourself in a public place with a little bit of downtime, maybe instead of reading the next thing on your phone or daydreaming, I invite you to just prayerfully look around. You know, there's moments of people watching that we sometimes enjoy. But to do so mindful of this truth that Jesus wants to communicate to us today, that everyone who's moving around you is loved and sustained by Jesus. Every hair on everyone's head, no matter how many there are or aren't at this point in their life, is counted by Jesus, including our own. Now this begins to change the way we look at others. It helps our gaze to be aligned with that gaze of the Father. And I invite you to do this little thought prayer experiment because a few days ago, I did this and found it fruitful. This last week, I got the chance to spend a couple of days in Florida at a sort of campus ministry conference with our focus missionaries, the young adults who were assigned to our campus to help and evangelize the students. And on my way back, I had a little bit of extra time in the Fort Lauderdale airport. Now, in that terminal, there was really only one option if you were hungry or thirsty. And so I bellied up to the Land Shark Bar and Grill in Terminal 1 of Fort Lauderdale and just looked around. And as I had some extra time, I was considering these readings, knowing the homily was coming up this weekend. I thought, wow, what a change it makes when we look at others, really in the knowledge that everyone we're looking at is loved by God. That these strangers are in this venture with me. When we're prayerfully aware of that, even something as simple as a brief moment of eye contact can be a moving experience. Now, I did not let myself be too moved there at the airport, lest I come across as the weird guy at the end of the airport bar trying to make too much eye contact. So, you know, I noted this prayerful reality and moved on. But I invite us to do the same, to enter into that awareness that comes with prayer. That we're given incredible freedom to have no fear when we realize that whatever circumstance we encounter, whatever challenge, whatever person, all this is happening within God's gaze. Now we also know that it's tough to hold on to this awareness. It's tough to go through life with such a mystical lightness of heart and step. That life and faith are difficult. And that's why it's so helpful for us to listen to Jeremiah, as we did in today's first reading. Make friends with Jeremiah. He's great company when we're going through those tough moments of our faith. Today's reading reveals a man whose vocation and mission were marked by a sort of tormented faithfulness. We have an excerpt in today's first reading of one of the famous so-called confessions of Jeremiah, or laments of Jeremiah. And we heard him ask God to be able to witness the vengeance that God will take on his enemies. He feels assailed from all sides. And if we were to read that entire passage from which we have an excerpt today, we realize it begins with Jeremiah saying, "You duped me, O Lord." Or sometimes translated, "You seduced me, you deceived me, Lord. You tricked me into following you, and now I'm in over my head." And so we hear Jeremiah venting, and even finishes that lament, wondering if maybe it wouldn't have been better if he had never been born. These are tough words coming from a prophet of God. And we can learn from Jeremiah, when we listen to him pray, of how we can pray in our tough times. You think your life of faith is paradoxical? Let's consider Jeremiah for a moment. Jeremiah loved his people, but was forced to be a messenger of their destruction. He was timid by nature, but obliged to be a public man, a sentimental in his affections, but outraged with his family. He was a hopeless romantic who desired family life, but remained celibate and solitary. Interiorly, we meet a man who is tormented by doubts, even lacerated at times by a vocational crisis. And externally, we meet a man who's surrounded by hate, enemies, disdained by those around him and abandoned by friends. He was put on trial, persecuted, thrown in a cistern, locked up in the stocks. We get the point. For this man of God, the life of faith was dramatic. Yes, it was freeing. Yes, it was invigorating. But it was full of drama. It had its ups and downs. And what we learn from Jeremiah is how to express that to God. We hear him venting in that prayer, wanting to see God's vengeance on his enemies. But there's an important point there that he doesn't say, God, I'm going to take it into my own hands. I'm going to carry out this vengeance. He says, God, I entrust my cause to you. He teaches us to pray without filtering what we're really going through, but still entrusting that cause to the Lord. Now, he has certain suggestions to the Lord as to how God should act upon this prayer, as we often do in our prayers. But he teaches us how to be faithful to our human experience, to the difficulties we have, but to understand them and live them in dialogue with our Lord. In this way, when we unite our difficulties in prayer with those great examples like Jeremiah, who show us that difficulties don't have to separate us from God, but can lead us into a deeper relationship. In this way, we make our hearts more porous, that transformative Word of God. When we know the freedom that Christ wants to offer us, and we open our hearts to that, and we're prepared in a different way, in a real way, to be touched by that command that Jesus gives us today. Do not be afraid. Fear no one, for you are worth more than many sparrows.